Take your Bible, too.
Can't get my iPad open.
I'm all ready. It won't take me a couple seconds here. It's always nice to remember your passcode. Take your Bible, number 1330. 1330. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 1330. I want to talk to you tonight about character. I said that this morning. It's always nice to have characters. We have a number of them at our church. It's supposed to be funny. It's supposed to laugh at that. Numbers 13:30, the Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Thank God for people who encourage the leader. The heartache of the children of Israel was that God had taken them out of Egypt and said, okay, let's go. And they were afraid to. And Moses sent out spies, and they came back, and of course, 10 of the spies had a bad report. Oh man, these guys will whoop us. They'll take us. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, no, hey, we got God on our side. Don't you remember what happened back in Egypt when God took care of Pharaoh and all his army? What do you mean? Let's go. And they were fussing about it. And verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people. He quieted them. He said, listen. He said, we can take them. If you're looking for a man that had character, I guess one of the men you'd have to put down is Caleb. He had great character. And, you know, all of us need character. All of us don't need to be the character, but we all need character. Amen. I want to talk to you about that tonight. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord. Thank you for a man like Caleb who stood and stilled the people for Moses. I'm sure Moses is kind of tired of always pulling and pulling and pulling and shoving. And there's a man that said, hey, let's do it. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for men like that and ladies like that who are willing to speak up when the time needs to be things need to be said. Lord, encourage us now tonight. Help us to have character in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you go over to 1 Chronicles in chapter 28, verse 20, you'll find that David told his son Solomon. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. My dad always used to say, if I didn't want it done now, I wouldn't have asked you to do it now. I'd do it. I won't have you raise your hand. Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. I've used that verse many times for my own personal thing. Things that come up and you're kind of like, boy, I don't know if I'm going to lose my life on this thing. And some of you have traveled around the world and know that there are some times that they're kind of interesting times. I think the most feared time I've ever been was in Mexico City. The missionary told me, he says, you know, preacher, he says, don't you go out that door of that hotel. Your life is only worth $1,000. And he was serious. And they said, don't go out. And I've always taken what the scripture here is. I'm immortal till I get my job done. Because that's what he told me. He said, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. I think that should be our deal. Hey, you know what? God's got a job for you. Get it done and let him take you home. Amen. Just whining and crying. I was talking to the sheriff a while back years ago, and I said to him, I said, boy, I said, I'm ready for heaven. He said, not me. I said, sheriff. He said, man, when I'm dying, I'm going to be squalling like a little girl. And we all of us had a big laugh about that, but there's a lot of people who squall about they're going to die. What's wrong with heaven? Man, the race is done. Work's done. Praise God, you're going to heaven. Hallelujah. What a time it's going to be. So while we're on earth here, God said, hey, thou hast, when you finished the work for the service of the house of God, then it's time, but not yet. I'm gonna take care of you. And you remember the story about certain men in the Bible where God said, hey, I'm with you. Remember Paul the Apostle, God said, don't worry about it, I'm with you. He said to Peter, hey, Peter, it's okay. I'm going to be with you. You're going to get through this thing. I've got, I love that word Paul says, God said, I've got people that you need to speak to in Rome. And you're going to make it there. Now, of course, he didn't make it out of Rome, but at least he got to Rome. And remember that he's on the boat, and the boat's sinking. And terrible winds. The Loctodon was there, and a great winds. And God came to him and I said, hey, Saul, you're going to be okay. Paul, you're going to be okay. And you tell the people, you stay in this boat, and you'll all be saved. If you don't, you'll be lost. And, of course, you remember how the sailors got in the boats, and they were going to cut the what do you call those boats?
The lifeboats.
And they were going to cut the lifeboats. And after they got away, they're just going to leave them on that boat. And Paul said to his man that was in charge of him, said, hey, if they leave, we'll not make it. But they all need to stay in the boat. And then he says, God has come to me, and we're all going to make it. Well, that's encouragement, amen. Hey, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Just hang on. You're going to make it. Some of you today are in a shipwreck of life. You just don't know which way to. You're going to make it. Stay with it. Hang in there. You know, one guy says, man, I'll tell you what. I was riding this bull so hard, I got some duct tape and just duct taped myself on and let it hang on to me. Amen. And life seems like that sometimes. You just got to duct tape yourself to the saddle. Just hang on. Amen. And but things pretty. The scripture says in Psalm 71:18, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Character is a big deal. I was interested when I was reading this about a major executive pointed out the criteria he used to select the employees. Employees run in this order. He said, this is how I do it. Number one, my first thing I check with this man if he has character. If he has character. Secondly, intelligent. Third, experience. He said a really quick and bright executive can pick up on experience very quickly, he told me. But the man we need and want most in important places is a man of character. Suffice to resist many kinds of pressures when the going gets tough and rough. We find then the character is most important ingredient to all, particularly if a man is to be responsible for making policy. The executive can buy brains and he can buy experience, but character is something he must supply for himself. Abraham Lincoln said about character, nearly all men can stand adversity. But if you want to test the man's character, give him power. Some of you guys in the military know what I'm talking about. You know, some guys, you know, they put on another stripe and then they go crazy. You know, what happens? What is this? You know, and you see it all over. You know, this guy used to be normal. Then all of a sudden he just blows up, amen. Coach John Wooden. Anybody ever hear of Coach John Wooden? Great basketball, a Hall of Famer coach. He said, be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely whatever the people think of you. Boy, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Hey, take care of your character. Forget the reputation. Because a lot of times, people will say things about you that are not true. But you just stay with your character. He also said, don't mistake activity with achievement. And the true test of a man's character is not what he does. The true test of a man's character is what he does when no one is watching. Nobody's watching, that's really him. That's really her. You're not watching them. They're doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. That's their character. Real courage is when you know you're licked before you begin. But you begin anyway to see it through no matter what. That's true character. There was a company that was electronic company, and they would tell people to make this. They said it could not be made. And they told this one young man to make a certain thing, and guess what he did? He made it. Well, he said, it's impossible. Well, there it is. He worked night and day on it because he took the challenge. Real courage is when you know you're licked before you begin, but you begin anyway and see it through no matter what happens. Our character should be, first of all, our character is an impression that we get from nature. There are certain things in life that you see, and certain things in life you say, you know what, I see that happen, and I think I could do that. Or I think that that is a good idea to program my life about. There's also, we're impressed by habit. Certain things we do all the time. It becomes natural to us. My wife, if you're going through the house and it's dark, I mean the lights are on, it's dark outside, if she leaves the room, guess what she does? Turns the light off. Did she do that tonight? Yep, turn the light off. Turn the light off. Make sure the doors are locked. It's the most incredible thing I ever seen in my life. It's the most amazing thing. The other day, I about ripped her arm off. She was trying to turn the bathroom light off, and I was trying to get her to bed. I said, what you doing? Turn the light off, she said. That was her habit. Her habit of turning lights off. Why have a light on when you're not using it? Amen. Man. Not me. I've been through the house a few times, and I turn the lights on, and the brain says, turn those lights off. And my big toe says, no, leave them on. And when I turn them off and listen to my brain, my foot says, see, I told you, don't turn that stupid light off. But anyway, also impressed by culture. Character is not bartered for. Character cannot be bought. I was talking to my son who runs a number of restaurants in town here, and he says, you know, Dad, he says, there are certain people you cannot teach how to do certain things. They just don't have it. They're missing some character in their life. You've seen them. There's some people that just isn't clean and they can just make everything just right. They can look at a room and know what's out of place and they can fix it. And then there's others that just make more mess. But anyway, you're not born with character. You do not win it. You just, because your father has character doesn't mean you have character. Just because your mother has character doesn't mean that you have it. Character is not a law. It is gained. Character is quality. Character is obtained by impression of nature. Character is obtained by habit on a person. You just start doing it, and you're doing it, and this is, you know it's right to do, and you're going to do it no matter what. Even if the cows don't come home, you're going to do it right, amen. Character distinguishes him from others. Real character is a quality you possess. Character is your reputation. I want to always be working on my character. If I see something in my life, I pray, I tell God, Lord, God, if there's something in my heart and in my life that's not right, make me take care of it. Amen. Character is Yeah, I do it whether you know it or not. Character is doing right. Every one of us have different attitudes. We are not coming to work here, not because who we are, but character that we possess. A man gets a job. Hey, he needs to feed his family. Well, he does that job not because he likes to do that job, but he knows that he's got a job to do so he can go to work. Some of you guys are working right now. You're waiting for the day that you can retire and get rid of that stupid job. Some people have fortunate to get a job that you love to do. Few people ever find that in their life. But you really love it. Character says, I may not like the job, but I'm going to be here because I signed my name to it, and I'm going to do what I told I was going to do. I'm going to drag myself in. I'm going to pull myself in. I'm going to hire a couple guys to drag me in. I'm going to be there. Character in a church. You got a job to teach a Sunday school class. You got a job to work the bus ministry. You got a job to whatever. You got to do it. And it falls upon you, and you got to do it. You just got to do it. It's just the way it is. And I'll tell you what, pastors sure love people that have that kind of character. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it done. I always said about Brother James, I said, Ortez, I said, one thing about Brother James Ortez, I didn't have to wonder whether or not it was going to get done. I knew it was going to get done. And that's a wonderful character. And that's the kind of people you like to hire. You don't have to always inspect them. You expect them to do the job that they said they were going to do. Because you know why? Because you have character and you're going to do what you said you were going to do. Amen? Everyone has a different attitude. By the way, you can't demand another man to have character. You can't demand it of him. I don't care how much you pay him. Now listen, we pay you so much an hour, and you're supposed to be here on time, and why aren't you here on time? You always got an excuse. They told me excuse is like an onion. Take the first layer off, you still got onion. You still got onion. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. I want to tell you a story about a guy named David Kraft. He was a big, strong man. He's one of those gorilla type, all muscle guys. He was, at the age of 32, he was 6'2", weighed 200 pounds. He had been to seminary and ended up working with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes because of his athletic background. Then he was diagnosed with cancer. It racked his body. And over a period of time, he dropped from 200 pounds to 80 pounds. When he's about ready to pass from this life into eternity, he asked his father to come into the hospital room. Lying there in bed, he looked up and said, Dad, do you remember when I was a little boy and how you used to hold me in your arms close to your chest? And David's father nodded. Then David said, do you think, Dad, you could do that one more time? One last time. Again, his father nodded, bent down, picked that 32-year-old, 6'2", 80-pound son, and held him close to his chest so that the son's face was right next to his father's face. They were eyeball to eyeball, and tears were streaming down both faces, and the son said to his father, thank you for building the kind of character in my life that that enables me to face even a moment like this. Men, I dare you to be the father or the grandfather to your children. I dare you to build them into fine characters that will be enable them to face a time like he was going through. Then you will be real leader, not only in your home, but among your peers as well. Teach them character. We need to teach our children character. Sometimes by repetition. One psychiatrist said, or a neurologist said, when you're teaching something repetitive, it's like driving it's like going down the first time on a trail, and you keep going down that trail and keep going on that trail, and pretty soon you got a trail. And after you keep trail and going, 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 it makes a deep furrow. And it's pretty easy to find the trail then. And with our children, we need to teach them. This is what we do. This is what we do. This is what we do. Never let them question if you're going to church or not. Don't ever let them question that. Say, hey, we go to church no matter what. We go to church. Hey, if we got the measles, we got hit by a skunk, you know, we'll probably stay home. But other than that, we're coming to church. By God's grace, I'm going to be in my place. You know, teach your children how to play piano. Teach your children how to play trumpet. Teach your children how, when we hear Bree and we're awed by her wonderful ability that she played trumpet, I'll tell you what, it wasn't that she picked that trumpet up one day and started playing it a couple times, put it down, and then later, years later, she just kept playing it and playing it and playing it and playing it and playing it. So to build character in our children's life, we need to have a goal for their lives. Let them be their own person, but there should be some things in life that they need to pick up from you and to see how you work and see how you give God the glory to everything. And when the problems come and the heartaches come in your house, let them see Daddy by the couch and see him on his knees and praying and crying. Let those boys see that. Let them see that when Mama doesn't have enough money to pay some bills, when Daddy's gone, that she's on her knees and begging God and crying and letting out. I'll tell you what, that does something to kids. Well, I remember my mama and my daddy praying. I remember my grandma and grandpa praying. And that stuck in my heart. You know what I found out? God answers prayer. God answers prayer. And, hey, you know what? One of these days, you're not going to be with them. And problems going to come and sorrow's going to come. What are they going to do? Do they know what to do? Have you taught them? Have you given them some character to live by? I hope to God that you have character, that God would teach them character. But a child must pick it up himself also. Every person has a free will. You can do what you want. Isn't that a fact? You can do what you want. You can act like an idiot. Do what you want. You can obey the laws or disobey the laws. You can do what you want. Of course, though, anything you do, there's always consequence. You do right, good consequence. Do wrong, bad consequence. So serve God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Father in heaven, I pray that you help.